I'll say yes when you wake me early in the morning. I'll say yes at the going down of the same. I'll say yes to your will. And I'll say yes to your way. I'll say yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Louis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time. Hey family, I want to introduce our newest broadcast that joined us in 2018, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One, hosted by Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. They will be addressing a wide range of topics that will serve to encourage you and to strengthen your marriage. So remember, that's every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Lord, we praise you and we magnify your name today. We exalt you. You are high and lifted up, high and lifted up. We praise your name. Your name is holy. There is no other God but you. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you have orchestrated this moment. And in the name of Christ Jesus, I just release your spirit through these airways as we go forward in another broadcast, as we continue to spread the seed of truth. And I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are the Spirit of truth, that it is you in operation in and through us, that you guide us and you lead us into all truths. Amen. And we thank you. We thank you. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. So, praise God. Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pastor Pat Randall. You can call me Pat Randall. Amen. And I am going to actually play a message from 2017. I did a series called God in a Box. You can, if you weren't a part of the listening audience for that particular teaching series, you can always go back. Our archives are available on the phone app, the When Christians Speak Talk Radio app. And also, you can go to our website, whenchristianspeak.com. Go to our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Amen. And you will find links and how to connect, amen, to our catalog of messages. Amen. So I wanted to bring this message because it is still a word that is unfolding even now, even though I've been teaching on mind renewal. I just actually finished doing the mind renewal series, but it's all part of that God in a Box message. It's about moving us outside of these borders, these man-made borders that have been established. It speaks about these cultural environments that are always changing. As you can see, I mean, the culture that we see today is very different from the culture we saw even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Just always changing, because the prince of this world controls the airways, and his influence is still present. Even though he's a defeated foe, he still has the power to influence. And he uses these systems, our educational system, our governmental systems, our economic systems, you know, all these things to control us, to tell us what our reality is. And it's contrary to the word of God. Amen. So even in the religious system that you might find yourself in, you may find that you are constrained and you are controlled. And it's a box, and you're being asked to conform to whatever the norm is considered for that religious system that you find yourself connected to. So I'm not going to speak anything more, but I want to actually read a scripture Or there's three scriptures I want to read. Revelations 21:1. Then I saw, this is John speaking, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Isaiah 65:17 is a prophetic word that also says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. 2 Peter, also a prophetic word in the same vein, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is the prophetic word. And if you have been following historically the prophecies of the Bible, they have been coming to pass. They've been fulfilled and are being fulfilled. Amen. So this is something that we can be confident in, that there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. And the first earth is going to pass away, because there's going to be a new earth. Amen. Glory to God. So it is time for us to begin to operate with the mind of Christ, to elevate our thinking and see what is real and what is fake reality. The enemy wants us, he's comfortable with us going to a building and worshiping God on Sundays, doing our little midweek Bible studies, and do our little outreach programs and our feeding programs, you know, those things, clothing programs, those kinds of things. It doesn't bother him, because we are still being influenced by the systems of this world, the culture of this world. And so we are not walking in full identity, which is why we don't see the power of God operating through the church as it is meant to be. But we're in process. The body of Christ is in process, and there is always a season of reformation where the church is being called up higher. And I'm not talking about an organization, but I'm talking about the people of God, because the Spirit of God tabernacles within us. God has chosen to make us the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the only way that could have happened was through the birth, death, and resurrection of his son, Christ Jesus. So we have been placed in Christ. And now we are able to have uninterrupted fellowship with the Father. Amen. Amen. So my prayer is that you will continue to press forward, to not settle for where you are, to not make excuses if you're not experiencing things that you see in the Bible, if you're not experiencing this abundant life that Christ has prepared for us. Amen. Do not give up Do not see yourself as limited, but see yourself in process, the process of learning and discovering who you are, the process of tearing down lives and rooting them up out of your life, the process of seeing Jesus as he really is, because as he is, so are you in this world. And as you clearly see him, the more you behold him, you are being transformed into that very image. Amen. So let me stop, because I'm not supposed to be teaching. I am supposed to be just setting up this message. It's part 8 of God in a Box. So be blessed. Praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the eye I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead me on. It is grace that will lead me on. Oh, oh. Amazing grace will lead me home. Amen. Amazing grace will lead me home. This is not my home. I'm a pilgrim passing through this world on my way to a new world and new heavens. Hallelujah. As promised by our Lord and Savior. Glory to God. Amen. So we have been on this God in a Box series now for 8 weeks. The last 3 weeks I have been looking at culture and how culture impacts our lives. It has a very strong influence on our lives. And as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to expose more of the things that are influencing us out of this worldly culture that actually runs contrary to the culture of the kingdom of God. It runs contrary to the truth, because in this world is filled with so much deception, and a lot of this deception is not so quickly discerned. There are very obvious forms of deception that we recognize very easily, but then there are the subtle things, and we know that our enemy, the devil, works with subtleties. And if he can get us focusing on these obvious things like not drinking and not wearing certain types of clothes, not going to certain places, not hanging out with certain people, not cursing and not lying, you know, those kinds of obvious things, but the subtle things, those little foxes that are actually robbing us, those lies that need to be uncovered. Hallelujah. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in the details of our lives, and you are here to make us free, because Jesus said it is the truth that will make us free. I believe that we are in a time, as I mentioned, I believe last week I talked a little bit about the shaking, that I believe that there's this great shaking that's going on in the heavens and in the earth, and it's shaking loose all those things that can be shaken. And what is remaining is that which is unshakable, which is the foundation that we have in God. Those things of the kingdom of God are the things that are unshakable. And in this shaking up, amen, because the body of Christ, we need to be awakened. We have been in a slumber state. But what is happening right now is being used to shake us awake. Glory to God. Those things that have been hindering our vision, it's been blurring our vision, and we haven't been able to see clearly the schemes of the enemy. Well, this part of this shaking, I believe, is an unveiling. Jesus said he came to expose the works of the devil, because the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. So the works of the devil is being unveiled in this season, and it appears to be increasing, but it has always been there. And I believe, because I always believe that this knowledge of technology that we have now, where we are able to be aware of things that happen almost within minutes or hours of it actually happening throughout the world, that knowledge came from God, and it has a purpose. And what it is doing is it is unveiling the evil that has always been present, that has been covered, and we have not been able to really look at this world clearly. The culture of this world, which and culture, it just means a cultivation of an environment. And man has cultivated this environment under the influence of the prince of the air, the god of this world, the little g, Satan. And these cultural systems I think I mentioned before that there's this teaching that, and people are familiar with it, that's going through the body of Christ about cultural mountains, and some of these mountains are, you know, the government, education, our economic system, business, the art, religion, family life. Those are things that are cultivated to develop a certain culture in a particular region. Some countries are defined by their lack of education being provided to their people, that you know, there's no public schools, there's no way for people to go and attend school, or if you can attend school, it's only for the limited ones, those who can afford to pay to attend school, unlike here in this country where education is available to all people because of the public school system. And we see how art defines a culture, and we see how even media, especially the United States, because I mean, media is we're always being bombarded with media in some form, and we're being influenced by it, whether we realize it or not. What I want you to understand about the culture of this world, because the Lord has already told us that he has taken us out of the world. So we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We have been called into the kingdom of God. So we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But the culture of this world was cultivated by man out of the seed from the knowledge of good and evil. We have been sowing seed from the wrong tree. This all began in the Garden of Eden when we partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And since that time, we have been sowing seed from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it has been reproducing after its kind. But praise God, amen. Praise God that Jesus Christ came into the earth to expose this, not only to expose it, but to bring life, and life more abundantly. He came to free us from the law of sin and death that entered the earth when man partook from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we can freely eat from the tree of life, which is Christ Jesus. He is the tree of life. Because of his perfect sacrifice, we're no longer at enmity with God. There is peace between man and God through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. But we still have choice. Even though this has been made available to us, we have to choose it. We have to choose Christ Jesus. We have to choose him as Lord and Savior. We have to choose to receive his forgiveness, the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want to share the story about the Tower of Babel. Now, for you saints who've been in the church for a while, you've heard this story is very familiar to you. And for those of you who have not, this is a story about man coming together in unity with a single vision to build something. But they have come together to build this independent of God. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Let me stop here at this verse 4. Notice in the verse 3, it says, "Come, let us make bricks." Now, we know that the temple, the sanctuary of God, was built by stone. Stone that was chiseled and then brought to the site and stacked and erected as a building. This stone was something that was there provided by God. But man came up with the idea of making bricks. Something that came out of his mind and his imagination. So rather than use stone, they used brick. Think about that. Okay, let's go on to verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Notice this attitude, this spirit. Let us make a name for ourselves. Verse 5. Now, before I move on to verse 5, obviously their conscience was already convicting them because they make the statement, let us build this city, this tower, and make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. Because they knew they were doing something apart from God, independent of God, and that there could be a consequence. So let us go ahead and build this unless we get separated from one another. Verse 5, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth." That's a story of man coming together without God, using the imagination that, because God created us to have imagination, He created us to be creative beings, but not to do it independently of Him. Not to do it out of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the cultures of the world set out to be developed through this humanistic approach to life. But God had a plan for us. But He always intervened. He is merciful. He always intervened because He knows that if He just leaves us to our own devices, if He leaves us to our own devices, who knows what we are capable of doing? This is men coming together in a spirit of unity, but not the spirit of unity that comes from God, to build something out of that spirit of pride that comes from you know who, to make a name for themselves. And we are still moving in that. If you look at the culture of the world, we are still, man is still wanting to make a name for himself. There's this pride. He wants to control and he wants to have the power. We see that spirit still at work in the culture of this world. No matter what country you go in, you will see this spirit at work. Well, I'm going to move on now to, I just wanted to share that story. In fact, there's one more thing I wanted to share. Last week in sharing from the kingdom of God's culture, how it is, how it runs contrary to the culture of the kingdom of darkness, that it is the opposite. Amen. I read a parable about the laborers in the vineyard where this master sent out for laborers who are to come into the vineyard to labor. And they came in at different hours. There were some who came at the very top of the hour to labor, and they agreed on a certain compensation. And then you've got those who came in at the very what they call the 11th hour. So they were at like near the end of that work day, and they were being paid the same thing that the laborers at the who came in earlier and who've been laboring in the vineyard all day. They got the exact same payment, and they were disgruntled by that. And as I was just going back through that parable, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the season that we are in. And we are just really at the tip of this season. But we are beginning to see an acceleration that is happening, because we are moving toward this time when Christ is coming back. And so even now, you can sense that how quickly the days go by. And so even now, a week may feel like a day, and a month may feel like a week, and the years just seem to be to move so quickly. It seems as if the clock on the earth has been wound up, and now it's moving faster. But let me get back to what I'm trying to share, that the Holy Spirit showed me out of this parable, that this season that we are in, that there will be those who come in at the 11th hour. We are used to the process. For some of us, we've been in this process for decades, walking through the kingdom, going through the process of conversion and the process of actually believing and beginning to live out of the truth of our salvation and being discipled, where we develop certain disciplines and we learn to be patient, and this maturing begins to take place, amen, in our lives. And but we are in a time that people will be entering the vineyard, which is the kingdom of God. Because we know in this parable, the master is God the Father, and the vineyard is the kingdom of God. And so there will be those, because of the season that they are entering in, that what took us 15, 20, 30 years, 40 years to arrive at this place where we are seeing things as they are. We're seeing Jesus as he is, getting to the place where we're dropping off that law, that legalism, seeing everything through this knowledge of good and evil, and breaking into this new creation. That there will be those who are coming in at this 11th hour, which is close to the time when Christ is coming back. And what took us 20 years to arrive, these people who are coming in, amen, will be transformed without having to go through 15 and 20 years of process. But we who have gone through this, the elders of the church, we who have gone through that process, having to drop off tradition and all the things that restrain us and bind us, we are not to be angry with God. We are not to be envious of those who achieve this heightened revelation and being able to walk in the Spirit almost effortlessly. That's because God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. So let us embrace what God is doing in the kingdom of God. We who have labored for decades before those who are coming in now, remember that we have laid a groundwork, and we are here to encourage and to celebrate what God is doing in this 11th hour season. where things that used to take years will be received in days, weeks, and months. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take God out of the box. Your box. This box that you have created. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, for too long we have tried to organize the move of God. Man has tried to organize the move of God, and under the leadership of man and an organization, without the Holy Spirit actually taking the lead. You know, we invite him to come in our praising God and singing songs, and in our prayers we invite him, but he is always present. And this is a season where we have to know that God doesn't come and go now. He is abiding with us. He is in us. So we have to renew our minds and daily renew our minds, knowing that he is present every moment of the day. Every moment of the day, every second, he is present. He is present. He has come and he has tabernacled within you. The Spirit of God lives within you. Therefore, revival begins in you. Reformation begins in you. Don't look outside for revival. Don't look outside yourself for reformation. It's in you. Amen. Let me read 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." We have received the Spirit from God. We are no longer receiving from the spirit of this world, but from the Spirit of an Almighty God, so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Amen. By God. By God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in this culture of the kingdom of God, what we see at operation is that it's not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, but we overcome evil with good. Overcoming evil with good. So when we see evil, our response is to do good. That is the only thing that will overcome it. And it seems, well, in our human reasoning, that this, how is this possible? How is this possible? When evil is done to me, that I am to do good. That is my response, to do good. But that's the culture of the kingdom, and that is the prosperity of the kingdom. Because once you begin to practice overcoming evil with good, you will see this life of prosperity overflowing in your life. That it really works, that it is really true. And anything other than that is the deception of this world. I mean, the deception of this world has always been there. I think I mentioned last week that, we say, and I used to be one of those who was of that mindset about the good old days and how when I was growing up, things were better and, we had community, because that is a deception from the enemy to keep us from seeing the brokenness that is always present. And what it does is it keeps us from receiving the truth. Because what God is trying to tell us, that he did not build this system, and it's dysfunctional. It is and it has always been dysfunctional. And that this is passing away, giving way to a new earth. Hallelujah. All of creation is groaning and travailing for the birth of this new earth. Even our spirits groan inside because we know that we are to be delivered from this, even this physical body that came from the earth, because now through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we are going to have a glorified body, a body that knows nothing about sickness and deterioration and aging. We won't have to exercise faith to believe for healing, because we won't need to be healed, because we will be living in these glorified bodies that know absolutely nothing about sickness. It just will not exist. Glory to God. Just thinking about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But while we are here in this broken world, we are exercising our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. Also, let's look at when Jesus talked about the commandments, the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, those kinds of things. But the Ten Commandments. But what he wanted us to see, that in our current state, that state before resurrection of Christ, before his death, burial, and resurrection, man could not within himself actually fulfill this law. And Jesus came to show us the perfection of the law, because he was saying, we think that we haven't committed adultery because we may not have participated in the physical act. But he says, if you are even thinking unclean thoughts about another person, lusting after them, and you're married, you've committed adultery. You've committed adultery. Because the law is the Spirit of God, which is excellent, which is pure, which is why we needed Jesus Christ as that perfect sacrifice. So you may not be breaking the law on the outside, but you're breaking it on the inside when you are thinking, when you are allowing your mind to go off and to just do what it wants to do and not bring it under the power of the Word of God. You may think because you haven't physically murdered someone that you're not a murderer, but you have murdered people through your thoughts, through the things that you speak against them. You, in God's sight, you are a murderer. So this is the opposite of the culture of the world. Because people think that they can watch pornography or look at other women or whatever. And because they've never physically touched another woman, they feel that they are still loyal to their wives. Deception. Deception. Deception, a world that was created from the knowledge of good and evil. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me look at the hour. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. I'm always amazed at how the time moves so quickly. I wanted to talk about love. I wanted to talk about love in the culture of the world and love in the culture of the kingdom of God, because they are at odds also. But maybe I'll pick up on that next week. We'll talk about love. We'll look at it closely. I think I'd like to spend a little bit more time, because it says God is love, and because God is love and we are created in God's image, which means that we are love. So we're gonna look a little bit. I think maybe I'll just next week I'll use that whole time with you to talk about love and look at it and look how we've been influenced by the culture of this world to tell us what love is and how it should be expressed. Amen. Praise God. Father, I just thank you for this hour today. I thank you for all that you are doing, because there are no formulas in you. You want us to live and breathe with you. You want us to walk in fellowship. It is about walking by the Spirit. It is not about obeying a set of rules, but being able to worship in spirit and in truth. You want us to get outside of the box. You want us to move in that spirit of love that disciplines us, that spirit of your power that disciplines us, that spirit of your sound mind that keeps us focused and leads and guides us and helps us in decision making while we are here in this broken world. I thank you, Father God, for the elevation in love. I thank you, Father God, that love never fails. I thank you that your love for us is an overcoming power in our lives, that we are able to withstand in this world all that comes against us by the power of your love in our lives. And right now, Lord, I'd like to focus on those who have not accepted you, who've not chosen. They have a choice. They can choose you. You have called them, but they have to choose you. They have to say yes to this calling. That they will see today just how greatly you love them. That this abundant life that you are offering is real. It's real. and it's beyond anything that can be described by this world's system. I thank you that they say yes and come home. Come home. Come into relationship with their Father. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we love you. Oh, how we love you. Lord, we love you. Yes, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Amen. Praise God.